Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started last week talking about the Holy Spirit and how essential it is for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to obtain the victory that Jesus purchased for us. Let me just quickly mention that we have a CD set on this entitled The Holy Spirit. This is a 2-CD set. We've also got this teaching as seen on TV that is taken directly from these TV programs. I've got this book that includes the Holy Spirit, the things that I'm teaching here, but also it includes the teaching about what is true salvation. We call it the New You and the Holy Spirit. This is a book that we give out to every person who comes forward at our Gospel Truth seminars to receive salvation and or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And also we're offering this. It's called The Foundations, and it is four books in this little album, it's three books, and it's the one on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the new you that we're offering. And then I've got Spirit, Soul, and Body and the True Nature of God. And we put these together because this is kind of a beginning place for those who want to really get salvation and their Christianity started in the right direction. So we've got all of these offers, and I tell you, it's really important that you understand how important the Holy Spirit is and how to respond to it. So I've already talked about how that this is really what gives you power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And there's a lot of Christians that are born again. If they were to die, they would go to heaven. Their eternal salvation isn't in question, but they are powerless to live the Christian life here on the earth. The Christian life isn't just difficult to live, it's impossible to live. It is beyond human ability, and you must be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So I've already talked about that, and I went into some scriptures that begin to show. Last Friday, I spent the whole program just showing where Jesus, His disciples fell down and said, "My Lord and my God," which according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that is salvation. They were born again. And yet He said, "Tarry until you be endued with power from on high." So that shows a clear distinction between the born again experience and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit with its gifts. And then you can see this same thing played out in Acts chapter 8. The people under Philip's preaching, they became Christians, and they were all baptized in water. But then the disciples or the apostles from Jerusalem came down and laid hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because in Acts chapter 8, it says that the Holy Spirit had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then you can see the same thing in Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 19, you find that Paul found a group of disciples. These weren't disciples of the Pharisees. These were disciples of Jesus. He says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They were believers, but they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the time frame in between when you get born again and when you receive the Holy Spirit doesn't have to be days, weeks, years, but there is a time frame. In our meetings, people come forward and they get born again, and then immediately we lead them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is two separate experiences is what I'm trying to get at. And the reason I feel that this is important is because I was raised in a group that taught that you got it all at one time. And as a result, the group that I was associated with actually taught against a separate experience. And yet you go through and look at the people who are really walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and without exception, there is a second experience. Again, it doesn't have to be days or weeks or years in between, but it is a separate experience from being born again. You can even go back into church history and you can look at Charles Finney, Dwight L. Moody. You can look at some of the greats, Spurgeon and Wesley and all of these people. You can go back into church history and every one of them, separate from their born-again experience, had an encounter, and they may phrase it differently. They might talk about being filled with the Spirit or a second work of grace, and there was all kinds of different terminology. But every person who has been mightily used and has made a major impact on the body of Christ had this separate experience where some people call it Jesus became Lord and they just gave themselves totally over to the Lord. But there is a separate experience where you are endued with power. And it's my personal testimony that this is what changed me. You know, I don't want to spend, I've got scriptures I want to get to, but I just want to testify to this, that you would have never have seen me on television if it hadn't been for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I got born again when I was 8 years old, and it was a genuine conversion, but I was 18 when I encountered the Holy Spirit, and my life just totally transformed. And because of the religious indoctrination that I had, I didn't speak in tongues at that time because I was taught against it. And the Holy Spirit doesn't force you. He doesn't take you and just make you speak in tongues. You know, this is really crude, but this is the way that I thought. It's how God revealed it to me. I used to think that when you got the Holy Spirit, that it would be like when you throw up. You could put your hand over your mouth, do whatever, and it didn't matter. It's just going to come out. That the Holy Spirit just forced you and you were overcome and had to speak in tongues. It's not like that. Do you know, right now, I could speak in tongues if I want to, but it is totally to no advantage to speak in tongues over television, because if you can't understand what I'm saying, it won't benefit you. So, like Paul said, in the church or over television, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. But the point is, see, I'm controlling what I'm doing. When a person speaks in tongues, you are still in control. The Holy Spirit is inspiring it, but He doesn't control you and force you into speaking with tongues. And because of that, when I received the filling of the Holy Spirit, I had been prejudiced and taught against speaking in tongues so much that I didn't yield to that, and therefore I didn't speak in tongues right then. But when I finally got over my prejudice and I finally began to start speaking in tongues, again, it was just nearly as dramatic as when I first received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I would differ with some people on this in the sense that there are many Pentecostals that teach that if you don't speak in tongues, you haven't received the Holy Spirit. Well, my own personal experience is I know I received the Holy Spirit. I got all of the benefits. I saw all of the effects of the Holy Spirit in my life before I spoke in tongues. But I will go on to say that when I spoke in tongues, it was just a huge added dynamic to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I tell people that say, do you have to speak in tongues? I say, no, you get to speak in tongues. It's a privilege. It's an honor. And starting tomorrow, I'm going to start talking about the benefits of speaking in tongues and why it's so important and why you need to go ahead and receive it. But I believe that you could receive the Holy Spirit without speaking in tongues. But why? It would only be because you are somehow or another prejudiced against it, fearful of it, been taught that it passed away, and I'm going to be dealing with some of these scriptures. But there is great benefit to receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit and then yielding to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and going ahead and speaking in tongues. Let me just take some passages here out of the book of Acts. I won't take time to go into everything because I'm trying to cram a lot into today's program. But let me, you know, this ought to be obvious that when Jesus, right before He was crucified, He prophesied to His disciples and He says, all of you are going to be offended because of Me tonight. And it's going to be like the Scripture says, you smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And they all said, no, we'll never forsake you. But when Jesus was arrested, they all forsook Him and fled. Now, we put emphasis on Peter because he was so bold and he says, I'll never deny you. Though every one of these deny you, I'll never deny you. And Jesus turned around and says, the cock won't crow till you deny Me thrice. He says, you are going to deny Me before the sun rises and the rooster crows in the morning. And Peter said, I'll never do it. And so it lists Peter's 3 denial. And he even cursed and swore with an oath that he had never seen Him before. But it wasn't only Peter that did this. It says all of the disciples forsook Him and fled. I mean, in Jesus' greatest hour of need, the people who were closest to Him and whom Jesus had invested so much and had shown so much love to, they all caved in. They all forsook Him and fled. They all ran in the face of opposition. But after the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came and they spoke with tongues and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And boy, they were bold and they started proclaiming. And there was 3,000 people born again. Well, it says in Acts chapter 4, right after this outpouring of the Holy Spirit and all of these people being born again, It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost." Now notice this in verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, if I had time today, I could unplug here and I could go back and show you that this had never happened in the history of the world before. The Holy Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament and would anoint them for service, but they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come upon them and give them momentary empowerment, but it came and went. For the Holy Spirit to come and indwell a person and fill us from the inside out was something that hadn't happened before. The only exception to that would be, of course, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. But that was certainly an exception. That wasn't the rule. For a New Testament believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit was something that had never happened before, and it's something that had certainly never happened to these people before. And notice it says in verse 8 that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he began to say these things. And he said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole." That was recorded in the third chapter of the book of Acts, where a man who had been lame from his mother's womb, Peter just grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was instantly healed and went walking and leaping and praising God. And that's what Peter is referring to. It says in verse 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Now remember that these are the same people that had crucified Jesus. These are the same people that just because of their association with Jesus, these disciples had all forsaken Jesus and fled because they were full of fear. And now here are the exact same people who had crucified Jesus that they had been afraid of and run away from themselves just a few days before. And here they are now boldly speaking and saying, "You're the one who crucified him." They are putting the blame square on these people, standing there boldly and saying, "You're guilty. You did this, and Jesus is resurrected from the dead. We are witnesses of this." Boy, this is tremendous. In verse 11, it says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders." In other words, you're supposed to be the one who are the builders, the ones who are the leaders, and yet you're the ones who rejected this chief cornerstone. You made the great mistake. They are boldly proclaiming that the chief priest and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were guilty in this. It says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." You know, they didn't give the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priest, any out. They said that this is the only way to God. You must be saved through him. And here they are boldly proclaiming to the people who are supposed to be the leaders, the people who had the power to kill them, and they are bold in the face of all of this. What a total transformation from just 40-something days before when they ran like little children in fear. And look at the results of this. In verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." And on the story goes. But the point I'm wanting to show you is that this is all conditional on them receiving the Holy Spirit. Prior to receiving the Holy Spirit, they had good intentions. They loved God. Peter says, "Though everybody else forsakes you, I'll never forsake you." You know, his heart was right, but he was powerless. When faced with possible death himself and association with Jesus, he ran in fear. He even denied with an oath that he had never known this man. He went more than just not speaking up. He spoke out against Jesus. And you know what? Let me just be as compassionate as I can, but I'm going to be straightforward with this. There are many of you who love the Lord and appreciate what Jesus has done for you personally, but when people at work, friends, relatives stand up and begin to countering the values, countering, blaspheming God, using His name in vain, and doing all of these things, in your heart, you love God, but you know what? You do not have the power to stand up. You cannot do that. You are very much like these disciples, even like Peter, that you sit there and deny and not only not speak up, but even speak against the Lord out of fear of rejection and fear of all of these things. And there are some of you that your heart is right, but you just are powerless to do anything about it. I'm telling you that this is exactly what happened with the disciples. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they changed from mere men with all of our fears and failures, and they were supernaturally empowered. Again, Jesus said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." God supernaturally empowers you with the Holy Spirit to become a witness after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And this is exactly what happened to Peter and the other apostles. I mean, how can you deny the huge transformation? And then we look at our own lives, and many of you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. You believe you're born again. If you were to die, if something was to happen, you have a confidence that you're going to go to be with the Lord. But you are powerless to be a witness. You are powerless to stand up and to receive the things of God. I'm telling you, I know I deal with lots of people. There are millions of people watching this program right now that I am describing your life. And if you would be honest in your heart, you're saying, that's the way it is. I love God, but I'm afraid. I don't seem to have any power. I believe that God can do things, but it's like I am powerless to see it come to pass in my life. I'm telling you, based on my personal experience, based on the Word of God, that if you want this radical transformation that you see in these apostles, especially Peter, where he denied the Lord and did more than just not speak up. He spoke out against the Lord. And yet that wasn't his heart, but out of fear, he did things. He just totally caved in. If you want to transform from somebody like that to the person where Peter is standing here and boldly proclaiming and saying, "You are the ones who crucified him. You were supposed to be the builders, and yet you rejected the chief cornerstone. It's your fault. There isn't any other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. You are wrong. We are right." Man, how do you get that kind of a boldness? The Holy Spirit is what made the difference. And I tell you, there's just no way around this. There are many of you who identify the problem. Yes, that's the way I am. But then you say, "Oh, but I don't want that. I don't believe that I need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. That isn't what my church teaches. That isn't what I've heard other people say." But that's what the Word teaches, and that's what I'm testifying. And I'm telling you that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential if you want to live a victorious Christian life. You can go to heaven without the Holy Spirit, but you're going to get there quicker because you aren't going to have any power to be able to overcome the sickness and the disease and things that come against you. Let me turn over to the 14th chapter of the book of John. And this is the night before Jesus' crucifixion. And he spoke in John 14, 15, and 16, the last minute instructions to his disciples. And just by virtue of the fact that he was about to be crucified, and this was one of the last times he would get to talk to his disciples, that makes these words some of his most important things he could say to the disciples. It was his last chance, and he knew what was going on. He knew his time was short. And so he just gave them kind of like the highlights, some of the important things that they needed to remember. And there are like five different times in this discourse, right before he went to the Mount of Olives to pray, there's like five different times in here he talked about the importance of the Holy Spirit. It says here in John chapter 14, in verse 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Jesus is saying that when he left, he would send the Holy Spirit, and he specifically called him the Comforter, because that is descriptive of his ministry. That is what he does, is comfort us, build us up, and edify us. Later on in this same chapter, it says in verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." You know, I could spend a long time on that. That's one of my favorite verses. And here's one of the major things that happens when you receive the Holy Spirit. We often emphasize this gift of speaking in tongues, and it is important, and I'm going to be talking about that the rest of this week. But you know, in my life, the most dominant change that happened to me when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit was that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, taught me all things and led me into all truth and brought things to my remembrance. The Word of God changed from a book about God to God speaking directly to me through this. The Holy Spirit's the one that inspired the Word of God. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, these words will come off of this page and it'll come alive. I got what I call revelation knowledge. It wasn't just coming from the outside in. I didn't hear it from somebody and they taught me, but I would read the Word and it would come from the inside out. The Holy Spirit would supernaturally explain the Word. And you know, I'm not saying this in a bragging way. I'm saying this in a way that I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm just giving testimony to what the Holy Spirit will do. But I have people all of the time tell me that, "Man, I have read the Bible for 20, 30 years, and I've never seen the things in it that you're teaching." People typically say that, "I've learned more in a few months of listening to you than I've learned in 20 years of going to church." And people are just amazed and say, "How do you get this?" I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and lead you into all truth and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever he's spoken unto you. That is one of the tremendous benefits. And I haven't got time to go through all the rest of these scriptures, but in the 15th chapter and in the 16th chapter, Jesus just keeps talking about how that the Holy Spirit, when he is come, will reveal Jesus. He will glorify Jesus. One of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit is to point us unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's to keep us focused on the Lord. It's to keep you encouraged. The baptism of the Holy Spirit in Isaiah chapter 28, it says, "This is the rest and this is the refreshing wherewith you cause the weary to rest." And he's talking about speaking in tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will encourage you, keep you focused on God. It will give you power. It'll make you bold. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you need this baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm out of time today, but I would like to encourage you to continue to listen as we go through this. Also, please call our helpline. We have it open for about 15 hours a day, and people there would not only give you these products, but they would pray with you. So please call that number that you see on your screen.
Today, Andrew is offering his book titled The New You and the Holy Spirit for a Gift of Any Amount. In this book, Andrew explains the specifics of your new life in Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Request book T323 when you contact us. The New You and the Holy Spirit is also part of a three-book set titled Foundations. Included in this set are two additional books, Spirit, Soul, and Body, and The True Nature of God. Together, these books will help make an intimate and personal relationship with God a reality for you. You can receive Foundations for a gift of any amount. Request item T4500. Andrew's two-part teaching titled The Holy Spirit is also available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1040C or DVD album T1040D when you contact the ministry. The first teaching in the CD album titled What is the Baptism of the Holy Spirit is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching THO6C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'd like to remind you that today is the last day that we will offer the first teaching in this album on the Holy Spirit. The first teaching is entitled, What is the Baptism of the Holy Spirit? And we make it available as a gift to those of you who could not or would not send an offering for the whole album. You can get the individual teachings one at a time. Today's the last day to offer you the first teaching, which is entitled, What is the Baptism of the Holy Spirit? And as you call and get the product, also you can pray with the people that are taking your phone call, and you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. We have this happen all of the time. So we have a phone number on the screen. I encourage you to call, get the product, and also pray with someone about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can reach us through our website at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd. For our Summer Family Bible Conference.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. In South Africa for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 21st through the 23rd. And in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st. He'll also be in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 6th through the 8th and in Little Rock, Arkansas August 28th through the 30th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
But how do you get it out of your spirit, past your mind, and into your physical body? Well, there's numbers of ways of doing that, but speaking in tongues. You are praying from your spirit, bypassing your understanding, and going right out of your mouth into the physical realm, and you are releasing supernatural power. Speaking in tongues is a powerful thing. And this is why Satan has focused so much opposition against speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is powerful.